You're listening to Lacey's Lineup, your go-to sports podcast, bringing you all the latest news around the NFL. Trey Lance traded to the Dallas Cowboys for a fourth-round draft pick. Aaron Rodgers, new team, new city. Is he the answer the Jets need to make a Super Bowl run? And Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, making big splashes in the college football world. Your girl is ready to break it all down right here on Lacey's Lineup. Kickoff to week one starts right now. Hey everyone, welcome to Lacey's Lineup. I'm your host Lacey, and I am so excited to say NFL week one is finally here. And man, do we already have so much to talk about. From trades, injuries, suspensions, and even college upsets, where do we begin? Before we dive in into the NFL, I have to give a huge shout out to Coach Prime and the University of Colorado on creating the biggest upset this past Saturday in college football week one. Coach Prime led the University of Colorado to beat TCU 45-42 in the final moments on their home field. Now, University of Colorado only had one win last season, so this was huge for their program. Coach Prime took over the program, brought in some major talent, one being his son, who was the quarterback who put up huge numbers during this game, and now already a Heisman mentioned candidate, Travis Hunter, whose performance I think was the best of the weekend. So anyone that was counting out the University of Colorado or doubting Coach Prime, I think he is the real deal and he is ready to make waves in the college football world. We're excited to watch his season and we will continue to follow his journey. Since this is my first podcast, I just have to tell you a little about myself and why I chose to do an NFL podcast. The love for NFL football in general runs really deep with me. I've loved it since I was young. I'm a huge student of the game, and I love to talk football. Whether it's talking about a big game, talking about a huge upset, talking about trades, talking about performances, anything that has to do with football, your girl loves to talk about it. It probably stems from my family because growing up, we were a huge NFL. We still are. We have both sides of the family. And it's funny, most of the girls on our side of the family, on both sides, probably love to talk football almost more than the guys. My grandmas on each side of the family, they can talk football. I love being able to call them. They're always the first one to give me their stats, their predictions, anything leading up to the game. So it's so fun to see two grandmas, because you don't easily see that, be able to discuss and break down football better than most guys. So I'm excited. I know they're excited for me to do this podcast and listen in, but I can tell you a lot of my knowledge and a lot of my passion stemmed from watching them love the game so much. So your girl is a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. I have Dallas Cowboy Christmas trees. I have Dallas Cowboy devoted rooms. Anything you can think of the Dallas Cowboys, I have it, and I have followed them for so long. And so I am proud to say that I am the diehard Dallas Cowboy fan. But don't worry, this podcast isn't all about the Dallas Cowboys. I love, like I said, all football. So you're going to hear me talk about all 32 teams, all the breaking news, anything that's going around in the NFL, I'm going to talk about. The Dallas Cowboys tend to be in the news a lot, so you will hear them a lot on this podcast, but it doesn't mean it's only going to be about the Dallas Cowboys. It's just when I do talk about them, I'm probably going to favor them some, but I am realistic and I will give them my feedback and hopefully they'll listen to perform better in the next games if they need it. So let's jump into the topics that we have today. And to help me with that, I brought in a special guest. His name is Matt. I've been friends with his wife. We coached volleyball together. And even though they are big 49er fans, but this will make it fun. And that's why I thought he should come on to my first episode, because a lot of the talks of the hot topics of the week revolved around the 49ers. So I would love to hear his input. So as we dive into this, I'd love to welcome Matt to the show. All right. Welcome my special guest, Matt, to the show. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you.
Yeah. So we're just going to dive right into it. I'm excited to have you. If I know I announced earlier, but Matt is a huge 49ers fan, and a lot of the big news this week was 49ers. So that's one of the reasons I definitely wanted to have him on the show, because I wanted to hear his thoughts on everything.
We didn't need to go straight into the debate of the 49ers versus the Cowboys, but I always like arguing football with you, so happy to do it.
I know, and right now you do have the advantage because you've beaten me the last 2 years. So.
The last 2 years only?
2 years when it mattered.
Oh, okay.
That's my memory doesn't go any further back than that. But, all right, so the big news, the blockbuster trade leading up to week one was Trey Lance traded to the Dallas Cowboys for a fourth-round draft pick to the 49ers. Who do you think got the better deal?
Well, I think the flaw is thinking that this was a blockbuster trade. And I get because he was the third overall pick. I understand that. But he was worth a fourth-round pick. He was not worth three first-round picks. So did you get a good deal? Did Dallas get a good deal? Yeah, probably. He's a cheap insurance policy, and there's nothing wrong with that, having depth on your bench. He's still cheap for this year only, but did we get a good deal? No, we lost on this because San Francisco lost on this because, again, we mortgaged our future for a guy who did not fit in the system to begin with, and we did not create, San Francisco did not create an offense for him, and this is a guy that has less than 500 pass attempts between college and pros. So he's an unknown commodity. So good for Dallas to get an insurance policy after the Will Grier game. I mean,
how
good do you feel about
that? Where's he been? He hasn't played like that at all. I mean, he's been competing for our backup quarterback every year because the Cowboys haven't gone outside of Cooper Rush and Will Grier.
Right.
And he's yet to beat Cooper Rush. So then he decides on his way out, because he knew about this before he played in that last preseason game, and he goes out and plays the way he should have.
Yeah, and you got to love that, though. I mean, how do guys get the breaks that they get, right? How did Brock Purdy get the break that he got? And so sometimes it's unfortunate, you know, the circumstances, injuries, or whatever it is. But Will got a chance to showcase his skills, and good for him. And he's going to get a job because of it. He already has a job because of it. So, you know, good for him. I still think good move by Dallas. I don't know that that was very public within Dallas. It sounds like that was pretty much done under the table, but good for Dallas. They got a guy who can go out there and throw the ball and run, you know, move the pocket, and good for him.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, how do you feel as a head coach and a quarterback when they make this trade for, you know, the Cowboys quarterback, backup or not, and you don't consult with your head coach or your starting quarterback?
It's a power move. I mean, I got to respect it. Going way back, I'm not the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan, but you got to respect when an owner makes a decision to make a move for a guy, definitely when your number one guy is going into a contract year and looking for an extension. So it applies a little bit of pressure on Dak, I think, also.
And I think he needs to feel that pressure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm happy for the move. I do think you guys, three first-round picks you gave up.
You're going to rub that in,
aren't
you?
Draft. Yeah, I mean, think about the people that went under. You guys traded up, and it's Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Patrick Surtain, and Micah Parsons. I mean, you guys are known for your defense, Shanahan being the defensive mastermind, and you let all these people go because you guys saw something in Trey Lance.
We're charitable. San Francisco is very charitable. We did the league of great justice by all these great players who are now top at their positions, obviously. And yeah, it stings as a 49ers fan. It stings to see all of these players, but you don't know. You don't know on draft day that the scouting on Trey Lance was legit, and I think San Francisco made what they felt was the best decision at the time, but didn't have a system in place to support it. And really, it's done an injustice to Trey Lance. His progression and his development has been hindered by that. And so we're really happy for Trey Lance is a really good guy, and he's a very talented quarterback, good athlete. So obviously he deserves a break.
Yeah. And I don't think we've seen what Trey Lance can do in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously college to NFL is a whole different ball game, but when he played his two starts for you guys, he went to Chicago, mm-hmm. and that was during a monsoon rain.
Right.
So nobody could really showcase their talents in that moment.
Right.
So we didn't really see anything there. And then, unfortunately, week two, he broke his ankle and was out for the season.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate circumstances. That's kind of, you know, that's the world of sports, right? It's unfortunate for him, the sequence of events. You know, why Jimmy Garoppolo was able to come into the game and then lead the rest of the season, and then he went down. So it's he was able to showcase some of his skill sets, and that's what obviously Jerry wanted to buy into as an insurance policy. I think it was a great move, and hopefully he gets a chance this year.
I do. I hope he can come in and make an impact. I do, as a Dallas Cowboy fan, hope that he can apply pressure to Dak and help elevate his game mm-hmm. in that matter. But with that being said, let's say Trey Lance does come in and he is progressing and he is doing everything right and he has a potential. Do you think the Cowboys, unless Dak got injured, do you think they would ever make that move and bench Dak and play Trey Lance just because of poor performance?
No, I mean, I think it's going to be a circumstantial type of an offense. You know, when they do want to mix things up, there's not a lot of tape on Trey Lance. So when you go into certain games, there's a lot of tape on Dak, not a lot on Trey Lance. So they are going to be able to create some plays where Trey Lance is going to be a better fit and be able to move the pocket and get outside the tackles and be able to find some things downfield out in space. So I think there will be opportunities for him not to take over Dak's starting position, because they've got a lot invested in Dak and obviously are looking, you know, towards the future. But Trey Lance is going to get a chance to showcase his skill set. It's probably not going to lead to a long-term relationship with Dallas. I just can't see that. It doesn't seem sustainable. Trey Lance does deserve to showcase his skills and maybe move on to maybe a starting role somewhere. But it is to your point, and I agree. It's it applies just enough pressure on Dak to sharpen his game and to, you know, maybe they can play off of each other actually.
Yeah, I do think it was a good move. It's been a while since we have looked in the quarterback room, so I like that we are focusing on that, because I think there is a lot of pressure on Dak. Dak's been in the hot seat for a couple of years, whether the Cowboy rooms want to say it or not. He's got too much talent around him, and we've yet to even make it to a divisional round game. Last year, I was really excited because we got past that hump of the Tampa Bay, and we were playing well, and then we had to come face you guys. And it's just our kryptonite. I don't know what it is. But Dak needs to be able to be great during those high-pressure games. And he's yet to show that consistently.
Yeah, there's always going to be the kryptonite. And that's on. How do you explain that, right? How do you explain one of the most talented teams in football going up against and not really, you know, being able to perform up to their standards? But it does call into question. If you keep doing this, if you keep looking for the same brand of quarterback and the same brand of offense and high fly and put up the most points, if that doesn't lead to wins, if that doesn't lead to deep playoff success, then is that really the formula? You know, and then if not, what is the formula? So you don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again expecting different results, right? But and I can say that for my own team, you know, San Francisco. So they need to find the right formula. I like what they have done in building from the inside out, building on the interior, what they've done on defense, and then putting playmakers around a guy who, you know, maybe doesn't necessarily get to his third or fourth progression, and you just have to have that check down. So I think they're doing the right things, but, you know, it's obviously I'm biased. They just ran into a buzzsaw that is San Francisco.
Well, 49ers are moving on. Brock Purdy is your quarterback. Let's see if he has a good year. And I'm not mad about this trade, one, because every time we trade with you guys, we go on to make a Super Bowl run. So Charles Haley might ring a bell. I know that sounds very old because it has been a long time. But if you look, Steve Young talked earlier this week, and he was saying, I hate this trade. Because I don't like trading to the Dallas Cowboys. And he even referenced Charles Haley.
Trade nothing to Dallas ever. Of course. And, you know, but that's where the era we live in, right, is the 90s. And that's so, and not just that, but the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. It's been sustained rivalry. So, yeah, I agree. I think it was necessary at the time. But all parties benefited from it. But, yeah, trade nothing to Dallas ever.
Well, let's see if that trade pays off. We'll watch it this season. Speaking of kryptonites, though, let's move on to our next topic. And another kryptonite that the Dallas Cowboys have is Aaron Rodgers. We always have an issue. Even, you know, we lost to him the Dez caught it year, right? And we won't go into Dez caught it because I know the rule changed and there's a lot of controversy. On record, though, Dez did catch it, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But even last year when they struggled and they were on a losing streak and not playing to any type of potential, I mean, Aaron Rodgers looked like he was on his way out in the NFL, like his prime had come. And they still found a way to beat the Dallas Cowboys. But he did his reflecting in the offseason. We knew his time had come at the Green Bay Packers. And now he has chosen to go to the New York Jets. Why do you think he chose the Jets?
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting to word it as though he chose the Jets, right? That he had his pick of every, you know, however many teams. This is a guy at the tail end of his career, which has been shockingly underperformed, right? I mean, it's for a guy with his numbers, with his pedigree, with his resume, to assume that he has his selection. So are we talking about a team that is looking to build success and build, you know, deep playoff run and build for the future? Or are we just looking for a team who's looking to fill the seats? And so, you know, you try to piecemeal a team together like that and cobble it together with big names, you know, like, as the Jets seem to be doing. Is that really the formula? And so I don't think it is. So now, does he have certain teams, you know, like Dallas, where he's able to be very successful? You know, maybe that's something that Dallas just can't get over mentally, being able to game plan for an Aaron Rodgers. You know, how do you explain why Aaron Rodgers can never beat Jimmy Garoppolo or Colin Kaepernick before that, right? So I don't know that the Jets are really building for the future. I think they're just trying to cobble together a team that is going to sell some seats and maybe put a few wins on the board. But at the end of the day, they're in Josh Allen's division. So,
yeah. I mean, I do agree with that. I do think the Jets made a little bit of a splash last year. Their defense started coming alive. They won some big games that they weren't supposed to. I mean, Jets fans have been upset for a long time, right? Jets have been kind of, we used to even refer to it, sorry, Jets fans, but we would say they were a bye week for people, right? Because the Jets just haven't been playing to their potential in a while. Yeah. Now they have a young group. Mm-hmm. The defense is starting to really break through. Mm-hmm. They have young people like Garrett Wilson, mm-hmm. who is, I think, really done a good job, and he'll probably be one of the top receivers mm-hmm. with Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. And then Aaron Rodgers brings his people, right? He brings Cobb and Lazard, not saying that they're the best, but they're comfortable. Mm-hmm. So they're mm-hmm. They know Aaron Rodgers, they're going to play. And then you add, lastly, Dalvin Cook. I mean, mm-hmm. that's like your blanket.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
your safety blanket. Now you've added the run game. I mean, to me, if I'm a Jets fan, I'm excited. And I think they're finally putting together a push, and you just can't count them out to make this Super Bowl run, whether this is the only year they can do it, and then it's it. But in the offseason, they have been loading up to make this run this year.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. On paper, they've done all the right moves, made all the right moves. Robert Saleh out of San Francisco as a, you know, defensive specialist, now as a head coach. You know, you always wonder, can a defensive mind coach up a player and on all those offensive weapons? Can he pull that all together? And so I tend to kind of look at it from the other side of, you know, with an offensive mind in charge, in a Kyle Shanahan, you maybe get a little bit more out of those specialists. And so it'll be interesting to see what Saleh can do with those weapons, and maybe obviously with the experience of Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be able to, you know, do a lot of that kind of see that on the field and be able to make those adjustments and get the most out of them. But it'll be interesting. On paper, they made a lot of really good moves, and then putting it together on the field is a totally different thing. So, yeah, we'll see.
I agree. I guess this will be the tell. Will this energize Aaron Rodgers back to give him a couple years? Because, yes, he's the older quarterback in the league, but Tom Brady was 45 before he retired and then retired again.
Yeah.
So have we seen his best, or is he going to be able to put it? I worry about the gelling of them, the young receivers, things like that. But he does have a couple of comfortable people that he brought with him, I think, to kind of transition him in. And I think that was exactly why those moves were made.
Yeah, he brought in some safety blankets. You know, you mentioned Cobb, and yeah, absolutely, he's going to surround himself with people he's comfortable with, and there's a relationship there where they know, basically know each other's thoughts and what they're seeing on the field. So it should be an interesting, it should be a fun team to watch anyway.
Yes, so Jets fans, this could be your year. Let's just wait and see. Let's hope you guys don't start gelling till later on because you play the Dallas Cowboys on week two. So let's hope that we can get over that kryptonite and finally win when he's in a different jersey. All right, next I wanted to discuss, you got to kind of talk about the new contracts that were dealt this year. And one of the ones that I just want to bring up is Hockenson, mm-hmm. right? Just got highest paid tight end, mm-hmm. you know, $17.1 million. I mean, now he is ranked above Waller, Kittle, Kelsey, mm-hmm. right? Should anybody be above Kelsey at this point? Mm-hmm. Goddard and Andrews, those are the top five that he has now topped. Is this deserved? Yes, he had a great season. But is it deserved, or is it just kind of the next man up gets that highest pay, mm-hmm. and that's just going to be the continuing on mm-hmm. in the NFL?
Yeah, it's. I mean, how do you put a value on what tight ends do, right? I mean, there's the numbers. Kelsey puts up numbers. Obviously, Kittle puts up numbers, and I'm biased. But you have to put a value on what they do that doesn't get celebrated, right? The blocking and being the decoy target downfield. So do I think tight ends should be paid the same at the same level as receivers? Probably not, but that's just kind of organically where we've gotten to, you know, with Kelsey and Kittle and the different kind of this hybrid tight end receiver position that we see now. So is Hockenson the next man up? Yes, he is, of course. And there will be somebody after Hockenson as well. You know, but if they get value out of that and some of the being able to open up some lanes for some other, you know, players to get out in space and get the ball. So they had to. I feel like that's probably what a lot of teams feel like. They just have to, so they don't lose him to a division rival. But is he worth $17 million? Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, great season. He was on my fantasy football last year and got me a lot of points. And he came out of nowhere, right? No one knew who Hockenson was the year before. Maybe they did, but he just didn't make the waves mm-hmm. that he did last year. Because you just know the Kittles and the Kelseys and the name things. I'm happy for him. Sure, I just hope he gets paid and keeps progressing and not gets paid and now is just comfortable. So right. We'll see. But right. Since you are on the show, I have to ask, who's the better tight end, Kittle or Kelsey?
Oh, come on. Now, listen, we all pay homage to, and not just Travis Kelsey, but come on. We can go way before Kelsey, too. But, yeah, obviously I'm biased. Kittle is a hybrid out of this universe, and it's, listen, I'm not just talking about the receiving skills. Of course, he's a great receiver. He's down the seam. There's really nobody better down the seam, but it's the blocking, and you have so much fun watching him play. If you go back and look at the replays of him, he has more fun blocking downfield than he does catching touchdown passes, and
which is a big deal. It's a big deal, and like you said, they don't get enough credit for things because everyone. Fans, especially if they don't know football, they're just wanting to know how many catches, mm-hmm. you know, what he sees, but they don't see. And commentators have done a better job now showing, hey, this wouldn't have happened unless this happened. Right. And you do see that a lot. But yeah. I had to ask, I'm going to go with Kelsey, though, for sure. I mean, Kelsey, to me, does so much more. Mm-hmm. Not just blocking, but, and, I'm sorry, he doesn't get as injured as Kittle does.
Okay, touche. Fair enough. Nobody has had more receiving yards in the first 5 years of their career than George Kittle, but okay, we won't go to stats.
Yeah, but Kittle, that have we talked about Kittle very much after that? He's kind of just been there. Yeah. Kelsey continues to elevate his game.
Props to Kelsey. I mean, obviously, you know, having a couple of rings on your hand helps.
And would you trade Kelsey for Kittle?
Absolutely not. No. Kittle's too much fun to watch. He's just too much fun.
All right, moving on, and because you're here today, we're just going to keep with the tradition of talking more about your 49ers, since you were so nice to come on. I guess I should give a shout-out to your team. But one of the major holdouts leading up to preseason right now is Nick Bosa. Mm-hmm. I know you wanted me to announce him as Defensive Player of the Year. So, do you see I did that for you right there?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I do think it's going to get a new title this year. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the guy that should have got it last year, Micah Parsons.
You're welcome for that, by the way.
But I think this was his reign. So I'll give him his credit because he got it. But I don't think I'll be saying that for very much longer. But he's holding out, heading into his fifth year of his rookie contract. He wants a new deal. His current contract, $17.9 million. Do I think he's deserving of it? Yes. And I do get the fact of in your fifth year, a lot can happen, right? You can get injured. It's almost like an insurance thing. And he's proven. So, yes, pay the man. What I don't get is do you have to hold out in order to get what you do? Because to me, him holding out, he's not in preseason. He's not practicing with the team. Even if he's doing his own thing, it's not the same. We noticed that with Zeke Elliott, right? When he was our guy went to Cabo and was working out. But even when he got paid and comes back in, he wasn't the same player. Right. So, yes, he deserves to get paid. Mm-hmm. But holding out and not partaking, does that mess up him coming back in?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate byproduct. I mean, obviously, a guy like a Bosa and with Parsons in the next couple of years, obviously, you have to tackle the problem, which is a guy who's involved in 30 collisions a game, who can literally in one practice go down with a career-threatening injury. So you can play both sides of the fence, right? I mean, obviously, do we like that he's holding out? No, of course not. But holdout is a bad term, right? I mean, these are handled by lawyers. These are handled by agents. And Bosa's just told when to show up, right? I mean, he needs security for a guy who's that impactful on the game, on the team. And these are billion-dollar companies, right? I mean, it doesn't all have to be about the money, but at the end of the day, it's about the money. Let's be honest, right? So
the agents, right? This is all about the agents.
But these teams are organizations. They're companies, right? And so he is one of the most impactful players within the NFL and within, obviously on the Niners. And so as a fan, I don't like it because obviously there's chemistry that's suffering and there is, going to be a week or two where he's maybe not quite up to game speed.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day too, these are people. These are people with families. These are people with, one play he goes down and suddenly he can't play maybe for the rest of his career. So I don't know. I understand. I don't like it, but that's the system. And
I get it. The man deserves to be paid. He was Defensive Player of the Year for a reason. He is a big, impactful player for you guys, and he deserves his money. I just don't like, and I know it's a lot of moving pieces. I'm sure money has to get moved around, but why can't this all be done prior and not during the preseason?
I know. As fans, it's infuriating, right?
Because I've yet to see anyone hold out not get paid.
Right.
Not saying it doesn't happen, but for the majority of the time, it does. But all it does is hurt your team moving forward.
And you can always go back I'm sure there's many examples of it, but you go back to Le'Veon Bell, and he was so prideful, and he held out, and he sat out an entire year and lost millions of dollars, and then he ended up going into a situation he regretted. So that's not going to happen here. Bosa is going to be signed by the end of this week. Before Sunday, he will be under contract. There's some pride involved here. I think there's a little bit of gamesmanship between Chris Jones and Nick Bosa right now and who's going to sign first and who's going to set the market. So I think that's part of it. The agents are probably more involved than the players.
Using them against each other?
Of course, yeah. I mean, you want to be the guy who sets the market. And so I think that's part of it. I think when he shows up, if he has not played at all in the preseason and he shows up on Sunday against Pittsburgh, I still think he can probably show up with 3 sacks and
well, of course you do because you're a Niners fan.
Well, that's Nick Bosa too. I mean, he's a generational.
Well, I do hope he gets signed. I mean, if he has to wait till week 6 after we play you guys, then I'm okay with that too. If the holdout lasts that long, he can just come back after the Cowboys and 49ers play?
No, it's not going to last that. But I love that it's going to put that much more pressure on the Cowboys to re-sign.
No, it'll be Micah Parsons and Bosa going at each other to show who's really the Defensive Player of the Year.
I mean, I think we already showed that.
I don't think so. But, all right, well, we'll stay up to date on that. Hopefully Bosa does get his money and he can come back and be an impact for week 1.
Yeah.
So before I have you leave, you know I can't have you on the show and not talk about, because we don't get to play. We do play you guys. We have played you guys in the past 3 years, but not in the regular season. Right. You know, we've always done it in the postseason. So this year it is on the schedule, week 5, Cowboys versus the 49ers.
Love it.
We do have to travel to you guys, which is fine because we haven't won either way yet. So third time's the charm, right? But I think it's going to be the battle of the defenses. If, you know, more than likely, Bosa is going to be there. There's no way he holds out to week 5. But I know there's a lot of talk about the 49ers defense. But what we're doing in Dallas, the defense that, I mean, our offseason was a really good as far as recruiting Dan Quinn, obviously staying where he was, bringing in Gilmore. Right. I mean, all this stuff.
I'm signing Diggs, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Diggs, you know, all these people. Now I think our defensive line we got to get a little bit better with, and Overshown tearing his ACL in the preseason when he was, I think, going to be a big impact player for us. But battle of the defenses. Do you think this is going to be a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game?
These are so much fun because just when you think it's going to be a battle of the defenses, that's when the offense shines, right? And so, and there's so many offensive weapons too. So, yeah, can both teams hold their opponent to 15 points? Absolutely. But there's so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball that that could be a really fun shootout too, right? I mean, Purdy, there's not a lot of tape on Purdy. So how does Dallas game plan for a guy that they've seen once, right? How do you game plan? Now, obviously, here's where I get biased, but how do you game plan for a Brandon Ayuk and a Debo Samuel and a George Kittle? And I could keep going.
Oh, yeah. I can keep going too. Would you like? I added Brandon Cooks, right? C.D. Lamb, Michael Gallup, Tony Pollard.
Oh, yes, okay.
You know, right. Jalen Tolbert making a huge splash in the preseason, starting to look a lot better.
I'm not a hater. I know you guys are very talented. Obviously, you can move the ball around a lot. There's a lot more tape on deck. And so, you know, I think if I'm the Cowboys, I'm looking at what did San Francisco do differently from the playoffs to now? What did they do different? What's different? And the San Francisco 49ers added a defensive lineman from the Philadelphia Eagles, and that is going to maybe even be more impactful than Nick Bosa.
I don't think your 49ers have to do anything different. I think it's up to us to do something different because what you guys have been doing has been working.
So that's a great point. So like, what does change from last year to this year? What has changed and what adjustments were made? You know, whether that's play calling, coaching, you know, the personnel.
And it is crazy to me because on paper, it's almost like we match up perfectly.
Yeah.
It's like you have the same amount of weapons on both sides of the ball, and yet we're always a bad matchup.
It'll be
at least for the Cowboys, we're always a bad matchup. And, you know, it's always talked about that it's a bad matchup. But it's funny because when you look on paper, it's almost like every big gun we have, you guys have one to answer and vice versa. So matchup, I think, on paper works good, but play, and that could be coaching.
It could be coaching. I think you're probably strategically in a better advantage this year because you don't have that reliance on Zeke. And so being able to showcase Pollard more. And that could be something new to San Francisco. There could be some new play calling schemes in there that can throw teams off that just haven't seen over the last several years. Not relying on that sole back, right? Yeah. And you can do a lot of things with Tony Pollard, right? So it's not the same team that we saw in the playoffs last year. I know that. You know, San Francisco, for the most part, is the same team with a little bit some additions on defense, but we've also lost several players. And so it's from year to year, it's just not going to be the same game, not the same team. And coaching is going to be crucial. And I do trust Shanahan. I think he can move the ball around.
Of course you should. You know, and our head coach is now the offensive coordinator too, or the play caller, I guess. But talking about Dak being on the hot seat, this game I think is going to be pivotal. The key to us beating you guys is Dak playing a perfect game. Near perfect. I mean, the interceptions have to be down. They have to be down. I mean,
I don't think necessarily that Dak needs to play the perfect game. To beat the 49ers, you don't necessarily need to be perfect. You just need to minimize the mistakes, and you don't need to hit the home runs. I don't think you need to try to, you know, get the big play downfield when you're talking about San Francisco and where their strengths are. It's the middle of the field and it's the secondary, right? So how do you combat that? And I think with Pollard, I think Cowboys have the weapons. It's just the game plan that needs to not try to win the game on one play. And so I think, obviously I'm biased. I'd like to see San Francisco and with their linebackers and their safeties, I'd like to see us try to control those Dallas weapons. But that's, I think, if there's going to be something different this year than the last couple of years, it's just trying to play within your game and not try to hit that home run. I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I still think Dak has to play a near-perfect game. I know we don't expect anyone to be perfect, but we cannot dig ourselves a hole in this mm-hmm. game because it's going to be really hard to come out of, especially playing away mm-hmm. and not at home. So mm-hmm. I think Dak really needs to take control of the ball, and I think it's going to be the defenses. And mm-hmm. week five, I think we're going to find out who's the new defensive player of the year.
Yeah, no, or the repeat defensive player of the year, yeah.
All right, and like I said, I think Cowboys will be, I'm going to pick them to win, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to go back and forth, everyone going up touchdown to touchdown, but I think the final score, Cowboys will win by 10.
Win by 10.
Win by 10.
Two scores.
Yeah. Okay. Because you know our new kicker, right? Aubrey, no one's heard of him. Hasn't really been great in the preseason, but we went with him. So yeah. He's going to win it for us with a field goal right there at the end.
Well, if you haven't heard about San Francisco's kickers, because right now we don't have a kicker. So hopefully it doesn't come down to that.
Well, that might be the same as us, even though we have one on paper. But I hope Aubrey does good for us. But preseason, I just haven't seen him be consistent. Mm-hmm. All right, before I let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. And I am going to ask you your preseason top five. I'm not going to make you do it in order. I'll let you just do it whatever way. But right now, the top five contenders, who would you pick going into week one?
In no particular order. And taking into account my bias, obviously, I have San Francisco. I have Philadelphia and I have Kansas City, of course. Dallas obviously rounds up the four. The team I really want to see take the next step. I would love to say that about Buffalo because I like Josh Allen a lot, but Cincinnati is just the team that's right on the cusp, and I want to see them take the next step. So it's between Buffalo and Cincinnati. I can't really.
Buffalo, still do that? I mean, they have choked, and they didn't really do anything in the offseason.
Yeah.
They didn't upgrade anything. And Josh Allen, I think his competitiveness sometimes gets the best of him.
Yeah, that, and you just don't want to see. It's sometimes on paper and even on the field, you're the most talented team. But sometimes when you're not all in alignment internally and there's bickering and then there's
dysfunction
within the
leave,
team.
And right?
That's really the cancer that can disrupt a team and take a team that's maybe the most talented on paper and it not translate into playoff success. So it's hard to say between Buffalo and Cincinnati, but I got to go with Cincinnati on this one.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks for coming today. I have enjoyed debating you. Before I let you go, your last thought, will 49ers be at the Super Bowl this year?
Come on. We've been in three of the last four NFC Championship games. It's a little embarrassing to say, actually, but we'll be right back there again. San Francisco will be right back there again. The coaching is too good, and there's too many weapons. So, yes, absolutely San Francisco.
Well, you're going to have to get through the Cowboys.
At one
point, that roadblock is going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, and we've climbed that mountain a few times the last few years. So, it's always going to be competitive, and Dallas is only going to find ways to get better and to look at the tape and go back to the drawing board and figure out. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on San Francisco this year, especially on Shanahan and Lynch. So, yeah, it should be a fun year. I'm excited. Definitely excited for week five at my house since it's in San Francisco, which is not much of a home field these days, but...
For anyone that doesn't know, we're very superstitious on where we watch our teams play, but... the last 2 years we haven't watched together because of that reason. So we decided wherever they're playing, that's the house we'll go to. So Cowboys are traveling to San Francisco, and I guess I'm traveling to Matt's house.
I'll watch a game anywhere. You want to watch it at your
that
house?
That is such a lie. You do not watch it anywhere. All right. Well, good luck to your 49ers. And we will see. And now is the start of where our Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays are booked from here on out.
Is there a day without football?
Right. Yeah. Well, thanks, Matt. Look forward to having you on the show again soon.
Thanks so much. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
A huge thanks to Matt for coming on the show. But before we leave, I have one more special guest that I want to bring in. He is my son, Skyler, and he is here to deliver the picks for week one's big matchups. Skyler, welcome to the show.
What's up, everybody? I am the Skyler.
Yes, Skyler. All right, so this is big. You're real big on your expertise and your picks. So with the games on week one, who do you have, Chiefs versus the Lions?
I have Chiefs by 14.
Okay, Cowboys versus the Giants.
Cowboys by 14.
Texans versus Ravens.
Texans by one touchdown.
Dolphins versus the Chargers.
Ooh, this is going to be a good one, guys. But I'm going to have to go with those Dolphins by 14.
And last, to end week one, big Monday night football matchup. Bills at the Jets with Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, guys, this is going to be an amazing one. Probably the best game out there. But I'm going to have to go with those Bills by 14.
Wow, picking the Bills. Sounds good. All right, Skyler. Well, I appreciate all your picks. We'll see if you're accurate, and we'll see you next week. But before, one more question. Right now, with the preseason, who do you have winning the Super Bowl this year?
I have that Josh Allen and the Bills. Boo, boo, boo.
All right, you heard it. He's got the Bills, and that's where he's going to pick. So we'll see if his prediction is correct. Skyler, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. See you next week.
That concludes episode one of Lacey's Lineup. I sure enjoyed talking football with you today, and I hope you enjoyed listening. I hope you guys have a wonderful week one of football. Enjoy watching all the big matchups, and we will be back next week to discuss what happened in week one.